inside my head. Before I reach 30, I'd be dead.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. We're broadcasting live to Alabama State House, Will Ainsworth's office, Lieutenant Governor's office. Once again, thanks to him and his staff for making this space available. We do appreciate it. This is the second time this session, we've been hosted by Senator Ainsworth, so we're grateful for that. It's a cool space, and if you don't listen to the beginning of the program, the Fiberglass Tiger is here. If you don't know the story of the Fiberglass Tiger in the 2018 election campaign, you need to Google it. Still to come on the program, State Senator Dan Roberts will be with us. That's coming up in the next segment. Programming note, tomorrow you won't have me. I'll be back on Friday. It's my week. We've been rotating this year with State House duties, and it's my turn as the editor of 1819 News. And they're going to gavel in tomorrow, so I need to be up in the chamber tomorrow. And that means you get April Marie Fogle. So she'll do a fine job, and it's going to be a good show, so you'll want to listen. We'll talk more about that later. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. What's left of this Wednesday morning? Just a half hour to go in the program. We're here at the Alabama State House. Joining us here, he's been on the show a few times. Good friend of mine, a good public servant, one of my favorite people in the Alabama State Senate. But State Senator Dan Roberts is here with us. Senator, how are you?
Great. Jeff, it's really good to be back with you. I appreciate your perspective on life to start with, and it's a joy to catch up, to brainstorm with you certain ideas and where we'll be in the future, and I'm grateful to be here, sir.
We were just talking during the break, man. We were, you know, all these discussions we were having a year ago, and you know, it's just like an etch-a-sketch. You just shake it up. We just had to start all over again,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It is interesting, but grateful for what's going on nationally on so many fronts and some of the things that we've been able to get done this year and moving forward. There's great opportunity in front of us.
Well, how are the session for you going this year? I think we're about to hit a speed bump here is what I'm hearing in the hallways. But up until this point, except for maybe last night, yeah. You guys are here late. But it's been less dramatic than the other parts of this building.
I think a lot of that has to do with great communication. Pro Tem Garland Gudger is doing an outstanding job in his position. And then his new chief of staff, I think, is communicating on both sides of the aisle in I think no one's caught by surprise, and there seems to be a lack of animus on many fronts. As you say, we had a little speed bump yesterday. We were here till about 9:15 p.m., so longer day. But you never know as we move forward. There's still a few bills that probably need to get passed that could be contentious, but look, there's been great workflow on our budgets.
The budgets have been, yeah. And, you know, at some point, I don't know when that comes. We've had a good run here in this state with the budgets. At some point, the economy and where that goes and the price of goods and services, you've weathered the inflation. But we're going to have some hard discussions at some point, I would assume.
We're having them this year for sure. Both general fund and education trust fund. I believe you'll see the education bill. It's already passed in the House, transferred to us. We've sent them the general fund, and I believe you'll see education trust fund probably moving right after first week of April would be my guess. And the thing that we're trying to look at, we have more tax breaks for this group, no tax on these goods or services. And so the budget chairs, Senator Orr in particular, has done a great job of putting them all in one basket and saying, okay, what can we realistically do? We actually are a smaller general fund this year than what we had last year. Understand this, the one big beautiful bill, I think, is terribly stimulative for our nation, but it's probably going to be a fiscal hit to our education trust fund of $565 million on the education trust fund alone. It's good for what it's doing throughout, and that velocity of money, I think you'll see that move through our system, but that's a direct hit in that corporations are writing off purchasing equipment, right, investing in capital and doing things that's very stimulative to the overall economy. But it's been a hit, which we knew it would. It's, you'll see it on the federal level too.
Well, you know, but that's the mood of the electorate. That's the mood of the country.
It is
moving in that direction with our size of our scope of our government, and where, you know, people want more money back. And that, it's a trend you've been able to fulfill in this state for the most part. It seems like, maybe there's some more to do on the grocery tax there, you know, that you feel good about the direction, though.
We do. I mean, you look at cutting half the grocery tax, isn't that about $440 million, I believe, that has gone back to our citizens that they're not paying, but yet you're seeing food prices go up. I literally filled up this morning on the way to the state house and was over $4 a gallon. And I have not done that in a while. And conflict in Iran, it certainly has speculation awry there. So there's a mood for less tax, no doubt.
Well, we talk about the economy in Alabama, and you know, in some ways could it be insulated from some of this? I don't know what the economic picture looks like. You know, we were anticipating with the one big beautiful bill have a very robust 2026, especially heading into an election year. Mm-hmm. It appears this Iran war is at least going to delay that. It may not happen by the midterms. So, you know, but the state itself, the economy is kind of separated from the national economy. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wonder if maybe some of these headwinds aren't applicable.
Well, I think you just look at the average Alabamian, these fuel costs are hard to handle. You know, people that are filling up once, twice, three times a week, depending on their travel distances needed every week. It's a big hit to them. And we all understand that. We're all facing that. But I think, on a macro view of our economy, I think we're heading in the right direction. I do have concerns with macro debt. I think you're seeing some precious metal reflection there. You're certainly seeing in the crypto world. And we passed legislation dealing with the crypto world this time. So everyone is seeing it, but we're at least going to be full budgets with what we're doing this time, but anticipating impact for next year when we come back.
Joined by State Senator Dan Roberts here on the program. Always appreciative of his time. You saw contract review, and since you guys meet year-round, so it's, yeah.
First Thursday of every month.
And it's always kind of fascinating to watch because there's always like some kind of like, what are they doing here? Why are you? And you know, but the dirty little secret, well, it's dirty secret or not, but it's just, you know, most people probably aren't aware that like all you guys can do on some of this stuff is put a hold on it.
And you can hold it for 45 days.
Right.
There's a balancing act between the executive branch and the legislative branch on that. And it was determined that 45 days was a reasonable amount of time for us to be able to hold up a contract. But we've got a piece of legislation moving through now that if something comes up, yes, we can hold it 45 days, but we can also recommend to the governor that not be signed. And I hope that will be able to send a message and at least be communicative that.
I mean, it just sounds like, well, you could recommend, but I think it's a powerful statement in some ways because, you know, the press that watches this stuff and you could actually say, you know, this is not something you guys need to be doing. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the governor could just plow ahead anyway, but at least you're on the record saying, don't do this.
Yeah. You know, we've had a few that because press involvement just magically went away.
Some artwork or something like that. Yeah.
A couple things like that. Yeah. And that's been helpful. But there are other things that we shake our head, hold, and go from there. And I thought your conversation with Senator Elliott on Friday was particularly of interest there, because I believe most everything to do with that Western corridor may have been held for 45 days by various members of us on that committee. So a message was sent, and
they just plowed ahead. It was a speed bump, and I don't know, Senator, if you've been out that way lately, but they're rocking and rolling.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that on the Northern Beltway in Jefferson County.
So I wrote a column about this. It's going to be in the Call News, ladies and gentlemen, but in the Trustful Tribune and some other places. But it shows what's possible. It shows that if government decides it wants to cut the red tape, if it does, the problem they're having with the West Alabama corridor, they just don't have the labor. They got the equipment out there. They got everything ready to go. They are building that road. They are rushing. They're running up against a clock, and they're really made some significant progress. But it just shows that if the state needs to build something, a very important roadway, be it the I-10 bridge, I-65, the Northern Beltline, 565, whatever it may be, it's capable of doing it.
It is. But when you don't have any federal match on a road like that forever you won't have match for resurfacing, repairs, anything. That's a costly deal. And I believe Senator Elliott talked to you about the one-line budget item in there for interest only on that. And
would that catch you off guard? I mean, you know, just three of y'all voted against it, but I guess it was a somewhat of a surprise.
Well, I mean, we knew it was in there.
Yeah.
It was talked about in a roundabout way. But, yeah, you know it's got to be paid for. Remember when the bonds were sold.
Well, it's this, and I know that it's like, in my mind, this is how in most people's minds it's supposed to work. You guys have the power to purse strings. The legislative branch controls the checkbook. And this just seems like an end around by the executive branch, which, you know, I know that ALDOT can do things, they have certain powers, and the governor, and we don't need to micromanage an agency this way. But when it comes to borrowing money, Senator, it was just done without, and even the speaker downstairs, and I had talked about this on air, it was done without really consulting you guys. I mean, is that in my mind, in theory, that's not how it is supposed to work. Maybe it works legally through a technicality, but that's not the way we intended it to work.
Well, you know, when Rebuild Alabama passed in 19, it was set up and you can borrow against half of that future revenue. And I've been told that the credit card is fully
maxed out,
fully done with this improvement there on the Western Corridor. Most of other constituents that we have would much prefer to see that somewhere else, i.e. 65, i.e. Mobile Bridge. So there was some pushback. So I think it was a priority, but you're dealing with Governor Kay Ivey, who is one of the most popular governors we have ever had as a state and a leader. And
one of the ideas was maybe you need to have a budget chairman or two on that bond authority. I know by, I guess, statute or constitutionally, you can't have the legislature control that, but you could at least have somebody there that you're not reading a bond buyer magazine the day before it happens, and that's how you guys
find out. That's literally how I found out the day before.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not how that's supposed to work. But it is what it is, and the next governor's going to have to deal with that.
Very much.
Yeah. Real quick here, we got just the three, 4 more minutes, and I know this is very important to you and the achievement of last session, but the Water Authority, you did it with the Birmingham Water Works, and I bring this up, and I know it's a mobile audience here, but this was something that had been lingering for years and years and years and years, and you finally got it done, and we're about a year removed from that. How has it been going?
It is going well. Yes, it'll be a year in May. The new board was seated and has been moving along. You're starting to see results of some of the forensic audit information coming out. Our examiners of public accounts was also in there. And when you're talking about revenue water out of 100 gallons pump, they're collecting on 42 to 44 gallons. If you look at most any other water system throughout the country, if you're over 10% non-revenue water, you're having major problems. And we're talking more than 50% non-revenue water up there in former Birmingham Water Works, which is now Central Alabama Water. So the board has their hands full. They're trying to turn it around. They are also loss of copper. I'm told over $10 million, maybe more.
Lord.
Loss of specialty equipment. And they just had to do some layoffs last week. And I know it's painful to be laid off, but I think they're looking at how do we move forward and stay in business effectively and do a great job for ratepayers. Their fiduciary duty is to the ratepayers per our findings and per that bill. So I talked to one of them last week, and they are encouraged with the way things are going and looking forward to taking care of our water users in five counties Central Alabama.
Senator, this discussion about water boards and sewer boards and corruption within, and I know that the state's not looking to get into the water and sewer business and micromanage everything. There's a problem here with the way these things are generally ran around the state. And I don't know what the answer is, but it does. You keep having these quasi-scandals bubble up around Alabama.
Character matters, period, paragraph. And if we don't have leaders that have character, that have great integrity, we're constantly going to have these problems, and we're doing everything we can to tighten up, you know, Senator Elliott, some of the work he has done on his boards, trying to get control of those. We see it on contract review. We see it on sunset, going through these different boards, and character matters. And it's hard to get great people to serve sometimes.
Appears to be the case. Senator, you're always very kind to this program. You've always been very kind to me over the years, but we appreciate you coming by.
Jeff, thanks. Enjoy it.
Thank you. State Senator Dan Roberts, we'll be right back to wrap it up. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.